Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today. Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Marshawn with a two-point game in regulation and buries the Devils in the shootout.
Excellent in the shootout. Glad to see him get a win. We don't score a lot for him in the shootout, so you know, good for Marshy to come through.
Dale Arnold.
In the end, Robert Saleh ends up with a five-year deal for the New York Jets.
But I would think that Sam Darnold is going to return as the Jets quarterback.
Rich Keefe.
Nick Ritchie. Okay, not a lot of games last year. He stinks. And, like, useless. Like, no offensive ability.
Richie scores for Marshawn!
Or, like, head and ass.
Dalen Keefe with Fitzy.
Slap shot shine.
And Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins!
And Mary Poppins! We found
on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Fourth and final hour, Dalen Keefe, Sports Radio WEEI. Nick Fitzy Stevens in the house with us. It is a big football weekend. Two playoff games Saturday, Rams at Green Bay at 4:35, Ravens at Buffalo at 8:15, Sunday, Cleveland at Kansas City at 3:05, and then the big one, I think, for most of us, Tampa Bay at New Orleans at 6:40. There's a question, obviously, about are you still rooting for Tom Brady this weekend? Your team's out of the playoffs. And I admit it to you guys, I went into the season expecting I was going to root for Tom Brady. And then I found myself kind of going back and forth. I was wishy-washy about it this year. Do you guys feel the same way?
I've been rooting for him. You know, again, not in place of the Patriots or more than the Patriots or anything like that. Like, I don't think that would be possible. But I've definitely rooted for them. And part of it, to me, is just the entertainment value of it. And I think that Tom Brady in that offense, when it's clicking, is super entertaining. And now, they've gone up and down. There are times where he and Evans and you know, Brown and Godwin look like they're locked in, and there are other times where they don't. But I think it's been a great story anyway, you know, watching it from afar. And, you know, the way they staggered the schedule earlier on in the year, we got to see every Bucks game. Like, we saw the Bucks play a ton this year. And I also think it provides the best playoff matchups and everything else. So I've been rooting for him all year, and I'm definitely rooting for him on Sunday.
I've been getting killed for months.
Yeah.
Because because I've been betting all of Trump's picks. No, I love
all that too.
Yeah, that I have Mary Poppins. I've been getting killed because I haven't just immediately thrown all of my emotional weight and interest behind Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay experiment. I thought I would feel totally different. I thought I was going to be one of the people who was super excited that you could root for the Patriots, and then when that game is over, you could turn on the Buccaneers game, and I'd be just as excited or close to watch Brady throw touchdowns to Mike Evans and Godwin, who are guys I've been following and rooting for years, who've been on my fantasy team, and now Tom Brady's playing on my fantasy team again, and now we're doubly lucky. We get the Patriots, and we get Brady in warm weather in Tampa Bay. And then Gronk came out of retirement to join him, and it started to feel a little organized and manufactured. And then he started doing all the social media when he wouldn't do it here. And it just felt like there was a change. And then by the time I finally watched them in September, I didn't feel it. I just wasn't feeling it. Now, am I actively rooting against him? No. Am I as rooting for him as fervently and ferociously as I did before? No, not so much. But would I like to see him advance because of the storyline, Rich? Like you were saying, yes. And I love the good theater.
I want to see Brady Rogers.
Yes. Oh, of course.
Yes.
And I also think part of it for me is the Patriots didn't have a quarterback plan. And their plan could have been, a couple years ago, to re-sign Tom Brady, to give him that extension, going back a couple of off seasons ago. And you didn't. And I would have said, all right, Bill, you don't want to bring Brady back, so what's your plan? What's that? You don't have one?
Huh?
So the more Brady wins, the more that kind of, you know, rubs his nose in it a little bit. And I think that is also what I'm rooting for. You know, like, okay, let's have Brady continue to play well because that was the best plan for that team, and they doubted it. They didn't think it could happen, and now he's going out there and he's throwing 40 touchdowns, and he doesn't look like he's going to stop. He's probably going to play until he's 45, which is what he told us like 10 years ago. And I know it sounded unbelievable at the time, but the reality is he probably will play until he's 45. The other thing with Brady, which is tough, is if he never played for New England, would not be an athlete that I personally would root for or would like. He's a California kid who went to Michigan, who wears Uggs, drives an Aston Martin, has a whole brand where, you know, he tells you what to eat. He tells you that if you drink enough water, you're not going to get sunburns. He's hanging out with Tony Robbins. I wouldn't like
to a
any of that.
And
you know, the supermodel thing's whatever. A lot of these athletes have famous or you know, attractive wives. But, like, all of that stuff is not what I would want in somebody like that I would be a fan of. But because he's the greatest quarterback and he won for the team that I root for, I like him. But you can't ignore those 20 years and all that success here. So he goes somewhere else. I still want him to do well. But his social media presence I find kind of corny. And I did hear people are like, oh, you're just saying that now. No, I thought it was here. I thought the TV Times was an odd thing when he was selling peanuts or whatever the hell he was and all that stuff. I thought that was weird. I always did. I'm not a TB12 subscriber. Like, all that stuff I thought was odd. But the guy is great. You can't deny how good he is. And when he's at his best, it's fun to watch.
All right, so this is a big game, right? I mean, he's got a big game coming up
huge.
Against New Orleans.
You could say it's a it's a pretty big game. And Dale, I will say one of the things I do miss, I used to get so fired up, Rich, to your point, about like when it became playoffs and Brady would put together the hype videos and like those things, like I know we would play them like is this week, is Tom Brady the river, the fire, the storm, the thunder? Like we'll find out.
I couldn't make heads or tails.
When he plays the Colts or the Texans.
Like, that's what he is. Like it's fine.
I miss all of the relentless competitive drive and fire so much, Dale. Sure. And it's somewhere else. It belongs to someone else. I just liked when it belonged to us. That's all.
I think it's a big game for him, obviously. I think it is a failure of a season for he and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers if they lose this game and don't get to the conference championship. But even though I think it's a big game for Brady and the Buccaneers, I don't think it's as big a game as our buddy Jermaine Wiggins does, who actually had this to say this morning on the Greg Hill Show about the magnitude of the game that Tom Brady is about to partake in against New Orleans.
This is the most important game of his NFL, not even NFL, but his football career.
Now Hyperbole Wiggins back at it again.
He did play in 9 Super Bowls, didn't he?
Yeah, I just feel like this is not the biggest game. It's not in the top 10. I think it's an important game.
Well, the 9 Super Bowls are all bigger, right?
All of them, yeah.
All
yeah,
more important. 100%.
Yes. Yes.
Right, some of those conference championship games, you know, especially your back conference championship game against Peyton Manning back in, was it 03, 04, or whatever, like that was a bigger game.
How about the first game back versus the Browns? Granted, it was against the Browns, but the first game back from Deflategate. To me, as big a game as this one is right here, because
I would even say, like, that the 07 season, every game after like 13 or 14 and 0 probably was a bigger game.
Yeah, and Dale, we said this earlier, and I jested in the first hour that I found the dialogue between Curtis and Wiggy this morning so circular and so ridiculous that I wanted to borrow someone's car just so I could crash it or drive it off a bridge because it was making me so crazy. And I relate to and sympathize with everyone who was listening, though it was kind of a gas.
I was also in the car. Phone didn't work, couldn't play Spotify, and I heard that as well.
Dear Lord, but we all agree, though, that while this would be a failure organizationally for the Tampa Bay experiment, I don't think, unless Tom Brady goes out Sunday and just plays terribly for some reason, like does something weird, like has that, you know, weird, you know, grounding rule like he did in Super Bowl 46.
Oh, yeah, throws
another couple pick sixes. Can't compete. You know, just isn't Tom Brady on Sunday. That it's not on him. This isn't a referendum on him so much as it is the entire Tampa experiment. I think he's pretty much in the clear unless he plays god awful, and I don't think he will.
I think that Bruce Arians catches much more crap if they lose this weekend than Brady does. Inevitably, Brady is a bit of a Teflon kind of player. You know, it's not Tom's fault that he threw the interception. It's the wide receiver didn't
but
go to the right spot.
Do you guys think that even outside of here, because I think we obviously look at it much different than everywhere else, and that they are playing in New Orleans against a team that they lost to twice, and they are the Vegas underdog. So if they lose, do you really think it's going to be outside of New England and maybe Tampa, it's going to really be viewed as an abject failure? Because to me it is. Like, he handpicked where he went, and he got these great receivers, and then he also added two guys that Bruce Arians would not have brought in. One of them we know he wouldn't have brought in Antonio Brown. Gronk seemed like overkill too, because that was before the O.J. Howard injury. And I think we'll look at it like, yeah, you got to get to the conference championship or bust. But they're playing the Saints, who had a better record, who beat them twice and are favored. So I don't think it'll be looked at nationwide like a failure that it might be here.
That's why we're tuning in, because it's arguably the last go-around between Brady and Breeze. We're tuning in because they're two of the best teams in the league. We're tuning in because it's Sunday night, and with all due respect to 60 Minutes, I prefer to watch Brady Breeze. But I really just feel like Brady's in the clear. This is more on his team as well. But he does have a chance to play poorly. And I said earlier too, I think Drew Brees needs to step up and have a hell of a game. Point me in the direction of the signature Drew Brees comeback game. Where's the game where he took 15 of the hardest hits you've ever seen, like Brady in that AFC Championship against Denver, and then still found it in him to hit Gronk on 4th and 10 down the seam and will them back to a 2-point conversion?
I have a feeling
it doesn't exist.
I think he's got more of those games than we understand. We watched every minute of every game Tom Brady ever played. At some point, Drew Brees, at the age of 42, has had some epic comeback kind of game for them.
Does he have his signature like Brady to Tompkins game, which happened against Drew Brees?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think so. Again, I think he's,
I don't think so either.
Overrated. I think he's a guy who's thrown for a lot of yards, thrown for a lot of first downs. He makes the playoffs about as many times as he misses the playoffs in New Orleans. Slightly more. I think it's eight seasons where he's made the playoffs, 6 seasons where he hasn't. I don't know. Kind of underwhelmed by Drew Brees.
In the most recent run of after they went 7-9 of those years, it's just been heartbreaking playoff loss after heartbreaking playoff loss for them. Mm-hmm. And the last time you can go back to like a Saints comeback was when they beat Nick Foles' Eagles, I think, in the wild card round in like 2013. And then even that Vikings at the Vikings NFC Championship game in 2009, they only won that because Brett Favre threw a pick. And the week before, his defense had a bounty on Kurt Warner, and they put up 45. So
That's correct. That's correct. It was because of Favre's stupid across the body pick that he threw when he was with the Vikings. I'd like to also point out that 2 years ago against the Rams, it was Brees, even though the Nicole Roby pass interference should have gotten the Saints into the Super Bowl, that in overtime, it was an ill-advised, terrible duck that gave the Rams the ball back so Legatron could hit that 50-some-odd yarder as well. Brees hasn't really he did well enough against the Vikings on the day of the Stephon Diggs the Minneapolis miracle, but there just isn't that one game where Drew Brees willed them to victory the same way Tom Brady, and this is what we loved, and this is what I miss so much with New England, where he just Tom Brady's a Terminator. He just it's impossible to kill him. He just never stops. And while Brees is good, I just don't see that. Now, if Alvin Kamara runs wild Sunday, that I could see, or their defense carrying them to victory.
Yeah.
I think that we'll all watch here. First of all, it's playoff football. We'd all watch anyway. Second of all, we have the local connection, not just Brady, but Gronk as well. To a lesser degree, Antonio Brown. He was only here for one game. But, we'll all watch anyway. And I have a feeling of the four playoff games this weekend, this is the one that's going to have the biggest TV ratings in Boston.
Oh, yeah. I mean, far and away. It's the Sunday cap and it's Tom Brady. I do think Ravens and Bills on Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of interested people in on that. Like, are the Bills going to take that next step, you know, even further and make it to the conference championship game. I think most people around here are probably picking them. I know Shime just took the Ravens, but the Bills are they're at home. Josh Allen's playing really well. The Steph Diggs addition looks like one of the great moves made over the last couple of years in the league. So are they the future of the AFC East? It looks like they are. And I think all eyes are going to be on that one, too.
That's the one I am the most excited about to watch as a pure fan, removing myself from what Brady can do for us in terms of a content perspective. Just as a football fan, I have my favorite food fixins. I got my favorite beverages. I've cleared the agenda. The runway is clear for maximum enjoyment for Saturday night.
8:15 Saturday.
Oh, and, cannot wait.
And Andrew Raycroft is not coming to your house.
Nope, he's gonna be
sipping his iced teas,
apple juice. Yeah. Brian's on the cell phone. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Hey.
How are you?
Listen, not bad. Wiggy is driving me insane. Listen, I understand that the Tampa Bay Bucs had Evans and Godwin and all the superstar talent, but how long did it take Brady to get a repertoire with Edelman around here to make it so that when he ran down the seam or ran whatever route Brady needed him to run, Brady could trust him? You can't, yes, as great as Tom Brady is and those weapons, you can't expect him to go down there and off the, you know, turnkey, automatically ready to go, have that kind of trust and, you know, relationship with all his receivers. They have been developing
it. Quick counter to that. 07, Randy Moss and Wes Welker and Dante Stallworth had never played a game with Tom Brady, and then year one had the greatest offense that the league had ever seen at that point.
All right, touche. All right, you got me there.
Okay, pretty good point there.
Touche. All right, okay. Yeah, and I think that was kind of the expectation, though, just because those guys were so good. They were so talented that year one he should be able to step in there and light it up, and he did. The guy threw 40 touchdowns.
We will talk to the playmaker, Michael Irvin. He's coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Well, you can tell everybody.
Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. Check out Michael's podcast, The Michael Irvin Podcast, on Podcast One or wherever you get your podcasts. Good afternoon, Michael. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys today?
We're doing great, thank you. Needless to say, we always try to follow what's going on with Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If the Buccaneers lost to the New Orleans Saints this weekend, would the season be a failure for Tom Brady?
I wouldn't call it that. I mean, they set some incredible marks in Tampa Bay that had never been reached before, and to get that team to a playoff, that's a great step in the right direction. I don't think Tom is walking away from all the things I've gathered. So to say he's building towards maybe possibly doing it again next year, Drew Brees will be out of that division. Of course, he'll run the division once Drew leaves. And I still think they have a chance to be beating the Saints this week and going farther. So I can't call it a failure, especially when I measure it up against whatever these super teams are. Superstars moving from one team to another, and I see LeBron took a year or so to win a championship in Miami with Dwayne Wade, Bosch, and now Tom Brady moves over. So I can't call it a failure. Now, if he wants to win a Super Bowl, that's the whole reason he made the decision, and he got to pick his team. We're measuring him against Bill Belichick. Bill Belichick, he can't just go out and pick his team. He has to pick players, and he held to these certain rules and bound by these certain situations, but Tom Brady got to pick his team.
Michael, which player do you think has the most at stake this weekend? Because to me, it's Aaron Rodgers, who has had an unbelievable career, but I really feel like he needs another Super Bowl, and he certainly can't bow out in the divisional round when he has the superior team. So is it Aaron Rodgers, or do you have somebody else?
I put it at Drew Brees' feet, too, here, okay. Because this. Drew Brees is walking away. We know Drew Brees is probably walking away next year. And to end up ultimately 1-2 with Tom Brady across all the statistical categories in the NFL passing, and he has 6 or 7, and you only have 1, wow. That doesn't look great. Now, Drew gets 1, he gets another one, at least he has 2, and now he's 1 or 2 in all statistical categories, we can start talking about him, I think, in another breath. Now, his legacy is set. We talked about that with Troy on the podcast. It is set. But to be mentioned with the best. And to be mentioned with Tom Brady, because you're going to be 1 and 2, you need an extra ring. Now, listen, Aaron Rodgers will always be considered one of the greatest talents at the position. We've called him the greatest talent until we saw Patrick Mahomes, and now we're saying one of the greatest talents. So he'll always be in that conversation because of that.
Michael, what do you think about all the coaching hires that have been made? Obviously, there's been so every offseason there's a lot of turnover at the position, and some teams are going with the offensive-minded guy. Some teams, like the Jets, are going with the defensive-minded guy, like Robert Saleh. And what do you think of that move for them?
Well, listen, I like what Coach Saleh has done. I wish we could have got him in Dallas, but of course that didn't work out. That didn't happen that way, you know. But that's exactly what I was talking about. He's coming in with credibility, coming off a great defense, you know, stuff like that. Dan, Coach Quinn, Dallas hired, is coming in. You know, he's had some great defenses, but not here of late, you know. So I do believe that Saleh's a great hire, because that's what they need help with more than anything, is that defense. They still have talent on offense, but they need help with that defense.
We're talking to NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, NFL Network analyst Michael Irvin. If the schedule had gone the way it was supposed to, yesterday Bill Belichick would have been in the White House accepting the Presidential Medal of Freedom from President Donald Trump. He declined the invitation. What did you think of that?
I thought it was the right move for him to make, especially right now, especially with what just happened at the Capitol and all that's going on around that chair, the president's chair right now. It was the right move. And I applaud Bill. And I know it must have been tough, because guys like you guys probably heard. I heard the backdrops of how Donald Trump, President Trump, I should call him, even though I know him, I'll call him President Trump, how President Trump called and kept up with Coach Belichick, you know, when he had some hard times in his family and his wife and everything. So, you know, you want to say when a man does that there's something there. But because of what happened at the Capitol, man, it was the right thing to do. It was sad, but it was the right thing to do.
Michael, the Kansas City Chiefs are trying to do something that you and the Cowboys did back in the early 90s, and that's win back-to-back Super Bowl titles. I'm wondering, going into that second year and then going into the postseason of that second year, what was the most challenging part of going back and being repeat champs?
Right. Seeing, first of all, everybody plays so differently and so well. You know, when we won a Super Bowl, we came in after that year, we came in every week. It was like, dude, I'm watching film. I'm seeing this dude get worked on film. So I'm writing in, well, I'm about to have 9 for 140. And then I get this up. I'm like, this ain't the same dude I saw on film. This dude be playing. This dude, you know, they're playing at a whole new level because they know you won the Super Bowl and they're not going anywhere. So this is kind of like their Super Bowl. So everybody gets worked up for that. So you're seeing that. And that's why you think towards the end of the season, you saw Andy Reid. He was motioning Patrick Mahomes. They were doing all kind of crazy stuff. You know what that means? He's trying to keep them fresh. Think about it. They've had a long first season to win the Super Bowl, and then they had COVID and jumped right back into this season after a COVID all season. There's no mental break in that. There was no mental break in it, and that's the tough part, and that's what he's trying to manage.
But talking to the playmaker Michael Irvin on the Harbor One Hotline, imagine that you watch the national championship on Monday night. Michael, you know, game has to respect game, and I just wonder if you think there has been a better wide receiver prospect that has come out of college football, and here we are with the New England Patriots, so talent-starved with so few touchdowns from receivers this year, but no chance Devonta Smith makes it to them. Have you ever been more impressed with a kid coming out of college? He went for 12 for 215 and 3 touchdowns in the first half. He looks like, I'm just very curious to hear what you think of Devonta Smith and what he can be like as a pro.
It's insane. It really was insane. I'm gonna be honest with you guys, because that kid had a great career at Alabama and just had a phenomenal year, and all the awards he got, he certainly deserved. But I'm sitting there thinking, there's no way he can do this in the NFL. There's just no way. We've had fast guys. We've had fast guys that can catch. We've had fast guys that can run. Fast guys that are shifty. And they were not able to do this in the NFL. Two things that made me think about. It made me think about what Tua goes through in Miami. You remember when he came over and Ryan Fitzpatrick says, Tua, that kid is open. You have to throw the ball. He'll never be Alabama open in the NFL. He'll never be Alabama open in the NFL. Did you see how wide open those guys were? I mean, he was wide open. He ran a crossing route. Of course, he was on the linebacker. He was 5 yards back of the linebacker. And then they do those return shifts. The same thing that Jerry Rice used to do. The same thing Randy Moss did with New England when he scored all those touchdowns, those return shifts, where the cornerback is trying to follow him all the way across the motion, has weaved through linebackers and cornerbacks, and then they just pop the ball to him on the corner, and he just runs in the end zone. That's why he scored so many touchdowns. So it is, it's talent, but it was also scheme with that talent. And they'll run different schemes. They'll do different things. They'll be more tight on him when he gets in the NFL than he's watching right now in college. It almost seems unfair what Alabama's doing now. It really does. It almost seems unfair, the kind of talent they have. Imagine they had Judy, Ruggs, that kid, Smith, Waddle. It's insane, the talent that they have on a football team.
Urban Meyer lost 9 games as the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes. He's going to lose 9 games in his first year as the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Is he going to be able to handle this, and how do you think this is going to work out?
Yeah, he's going to lose. I laugh because I think about my first day with Dallas after leaving Miami, thinking I got it now. We good. I lost 2-3 games in Miami. In the first 2-3 weeks, I had to match that. You see what I'm saying? I had to match that, and he's about to go through it. And no matter what, you want to will it, you want to push it, but it doesn't happen that way. He's definitely going to lose 9. He's going to lose 9 games. He's going to lose 9, lose his mind, lose his cool, lose his peace, and then hopefully he'll find his way back.
Michael, who has a better chance at an upset this weekend, Rams over Packers or Browns over Chiefs?
That's a great question. We were talking that same question Sunday, and either one of these has a possibility. I think more so probably with the Chiefs because of a couple of things. Because the Browns know about the weather situation. They deal with that in Cleveland, and if whatever goes on in Kansas City, they'll be able to deal with it. But also, the Rams don't have a quarterback. And the Rams, he has a quarterback with a bad thumb, and he has to try to grip the ball in the cold weather. But that defense is so incredible. We saw what the Niners defense did to the Packers offense last year. This defense has the same chance to do it. But they'll have to produce something on the offensive side, and that's an issue. But Cleveland, if Cleveland followed a game plan, which they've learned all year, run the football, and then ask Baker to make a few plays, they have a shot, especially with the way Kansas City ended the season playing.
Michael, we always appreciate the time. Thanks for talking some football with us. Enjoy the playoff games this weekend.
Yeah, thank you, guys. I appreciate it, guys.
See ya.
All right, see you, Michael.
That is the playmaker, Michael Irvin, NFL Hall of Fame wide receiver, NFL Network analyst, joins us every week. Coming up in just a couple of minutes, what else you got? Charles Barkley. We said earlier that Shaq had some stuff to say on the NBA on TNT. So did Charles.
Oh, yeah.
You'll hear what that was coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
All right, got a couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
There it is. Fitzy?
Dale, here we have been talking today about putting together all-star teams, what with the recent trade of James Harden to the Brooklyn Nets from Houston, and some of us having some disdain for it, some of us being in favor of it. I don't know how you feel about movies that have all-star casts and directors who feel the need to surround themselves with piles and piles of talent. But David O. Russell, who has made some of the better and some of the more perplexing movies of the past 25 years, I'm here for Three Kings all day and forever. I enjoyed myself a little. I enjoyed The Fighter, but also Joy and American Hustle can go kick rocks without socks.
Really?
I liked American Hustle.
Huh. No. I didn't mind American Hustle.
It got buried in one of like the best years of movies in the last 20 years, though.
What about Silver Linings Playbook? Did you like that one?
I did
Big
not.
Big fan. Big fan, and also, I think the most underrated De Niro performance of the past 20 years or so.
I was I read the book a-hole with Silver Linings Playbook, though, so take that as you will.
All right, now I know why Rich has a turn John's mic off for 2 hours.
That expired at 12:02.
Yep. Thank you very much. Anyway, check this cast out. Now, the movie was supposed to start shooting in April. It won't shoot till next January because of COVID protocols and delays. The cast for the next David O. Russell film: Christian Bale, Margot Robbie, Rami Malek, Zoe Saldana, Mike Myers, Robert De Niro, Michael Shannon, Chris Rock, and Timothy Oliphant. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, John David Washington and Anya Taylor-Joy.
Yeah.
Like, it's just loaded. It's loaded.
I mean, if the movie
not
was...
Not enough shots.
Seriously. Like, I don't understand what the hell... No one knows what it's about. It's totally under wraps. No script leaks. No story details have snuck out yet. But if that was literally called ordering lunch at the corner deli, reading the phone book, or guiding traffic at the intersection of 3rd and David, it would be an all-star movie. I mean, I can't wait for this movie. But holy cast.
What else you got?
Rich?
Don't look now, but the Celtics are going to play a basketball game tonight.
Come on.
That's right.
Don't tease me.
It's been exactly... tonight
and
marks
it's the Celtics.
1 week anniversary from the last time the Boston Celtics... Like the Patriots. They're going 1 week in between games. They played the Orlando Magic tonight, and somebody is going to have to step up. No Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown is questionable, and Kemba Walker is still not ready to return. So... Peyton Pritchard, come on down. Also, no Time Lord. Time Lord's still out. And so they have their work cut out for them. The Orlando Magic have actually been not bad this year, although they are on a three-game losing streak, but they are still a top-five seed. And believe it or not, you probably forget this because we haven't talked about them at all, Celtics, technically, based on win percentage, first place in the East.
Yep.
Haven't seen them play in a while, but they are the first-place team in the Eastern Conference. Have the second-best record in the NBA.
If we just stop counting votes, they win, right?
Well, kind of the
same. If you stop it right now and you just take the top team from each conference, it would be Celtics-Lakers NBA Finals.
Who says no to that?
Let's
remember
go.
When the Miami Marlins were first place in all of Major League Baseball?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
great team. Great outfit.
What else you got?
So obviously one of the big stories involving sports and the world is COVID-19, and particularly trying to get, as they say, vaccinations in arms. It's been behind the pace that we had hoped to see by now. It has been described by incoming President Joe Biden as one of the things that he's going to concentrate on most. He wants to do 100 million vaccinations in his first 100 days in office. Well, last night, NBA on TNT, Charles Barkley had some deep thoughts about the whole idea of COVID-19 vaccinations.
We need 300 million shots. Giving 1,000 to some NBA players.
What about NFL?
NFL, I'm just going to raise it. NFL players, hockey players. Listen, as much taxes as these players pay, let me repeat that. As much taxes as these players pay, they deserve some preferential treatment.
For life and death?
Yes.
The amount of money you make.
I said taxes. I didn't say the amount of money you make.
Well, that's taxes. That's
I'm saying the amount of taxes these guys pay.
We can't go there. No. I don't think you could go there.
Thank you, Kenny, for trying to reel him back in.
I know. Thanks for Kenny. I love Charles Barkley, and I agree with him a good amount of the time, but thanks for Kenny Smith to sort of stepping in there and be like, wait a minute, life and death? You're talking about life and death now?
So there are billionaires who make much more than any athlete on the planet, so they should go on the list ahead of these guys, right? Because they pay more taxes than the athletes do.
Well, actually, some of them don't.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. That's a whole other story.
Charles, I might want to walk that one back a little bit.
Who the black people going to call Ghostbusters?
Charles Barkley is one of the people.
There's a new Ghostbusters movie coming out this year, Ghostbusters Afterlife.
It was only delayed.
Finn Wolfhard, Carrie Coon in that. So
it's been done for 9 months.
I'm very
curious to see how all these movies that were supposed to come out 9 months ago, Black Widow, Top Gun Maverick, Ghostbusters Afterlife, how well they're going to play. Not that they'll be dated, but it'll be kind of weird. Like, I could have seen this a year ago.
It is weird, and they've been pushing them. WandaVision, by the way, out on Disney Plus today. The first two episodes of that kicks off Phase 4 of the MCU.
Anyone watch?
Dork podcast coverage on that. I haven't watched it yet, but I will watch that probably in 2 minutes.
All right. Fitzy, enjoy your weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Rich,
thank you,
enjoy
Jim.
Your weekend. We
yes,
got lots
too.
Of playoff football to watch. Bruins have action tomorrow afternoon. OMF is coming up next. We'll see you all next week. Bye.